Oh, thank you for this precious one, Lord, that you sent our way. And Father, the fire that's shut up in her bones, I thank you, Lord, that it's just there to be released for those who need to hear it. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, guys. How are you? So I'm going to share my testimony with you guys today. And God has been bringing a part of my life that I really don't share with other people because it's so, it hurt. But I'm healed from that, and parts that I'm not healed fully from, he's still working with me on that. So like most of you, I was hurt by the church. I was hurt by the church at a very young age. I was about 17 years old, kind of a troubled youth, not really too bad, but my father is a traveling minister. So at 17, he thought it would be a good idea, since I had some troubles, to send me off to a place in Florida. So with this preacher and this church. So I went to go live there, and I was really excited. You know, the preacher was like, you're going to do God's work. Everything's going to be amazing. So I get down there, and they have a hotel. And what we do is we cleaned out the hotel rooms. Where God was in that, I have no idea. But we started cleaning out the hotel rooms, and then they gave me a checklist. They said, we're going to have you pray an hour every morning at 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. You are going to eat lunch, then you're going to pray again, then you're going to read your Bible, then you're going to pray again, then you're going to read your Bible, then you're going to come to church. So I started the Christian walk with a checklist. It was okay. God was still working in me, even when people don't really know exactly what they're doing. So we would have to pray, and then we would come into the sanctuary, and we would pray for an hour, and most of the time I would just sleep with my head down so that they would think I was praying, but I was really sleeping. I wasn't praying. And then we would clean hotel rooms, and then they started picking out ones who would work directly for the pastor and his wife. So they picked me. And they said, because of the calling on your life, you have been chosen to come into our house and clean up after us and take care of our children. I was like, oh, that's wonderful. Yay, I'm being called by God. So still to this day, there's a little bit of something in me when somebody says there's a calling on your life. There's a little bit of a little bit of a fear there. Because of what happened. So I was there for about 9 months, had my 18th birthday there, and then my mom would send me money, maybe like $100 a month, not that much, just so I could get, like, you know, things, like order pizza or whatever. And it started to go downhill. I was really upset. My parents wouldn't let me come back home. I was really upset, so I escaped the hotel for a little bit, escaped the hotel for a little bit to go get a bottle of NyQuil, and I drank the whole bottle of NyQuil, still alive, obviously, but I drank the whole bottle of NyQuil, and then the pastor found the bottle of NyQuil and the receipt, and I mean, just tore into me. I mean, started yelling at the top of his lungs, saying that I wasn't a Christian and I'm a disgrace and all this stuff because I put this in my body to feel something. So I didn't want to stay there anymore, and if that was God, I didn't want to have anything to do with it. They started also to find out that I was gay. I was serving in the praise and worship team. You guys might not know that. I was serving in the praise and worship team, and they said, because you're gay, you can't be in the praise and worship team anymore. So they pulled me down, kicked me out of the pastor's house. I wasn't worthy to serve the pastor anymore. And so I called my mom and I said, you got to get me out of here. I can't stay here. So my mom sent me $140. I still remember what she said on the phone that she was sending me. And when the letter arrived at the place, I went to go get it. It was opened and there was no money in it. And the pastor said, since you haven't been giving offering to this church, I took your money. So I was hurt extremely bad at a really young age by the church. That's not God, as we know that. That is not God. That's why you have to be extremely careful with the new people coming into the church. So I'm gay and I can't be Christian. Okay, fine. Then I won't serve God. Then I won't pray to God. Then I won't talk to God. I'm not going to serve a God that does not love me. So I went to go find something that was bigger than myself to serve, because I've always had this burning, this fire in me to serve something greater than myself. So I went to the Army. And I started calling myself agnostic, which I wasn't. That was kind of lying to everybody else, because I knew there was a God, and I knew it was the God, and I wanted to serve him and things like that, but because I was gay, I couldn't. So went to the Army, and very quickly I started praying to God again, because when you're in a war zone and those bombs are dropping, you better find some faith. So I did. And it was amazing. Every day when I put that uniform on, I was like, that's me. This is what I stand for. This is me right here. I'm a superhero. So it finally gave my life meaning again to put on that uniform and to help people over there and here. My throat's getting a little dry, so if you'll just bear with me really quick. I know it's just you guys, but every time I give my story, I'm so nervous. Okay. So I served a long time in the Army, and then I got kicked out of the Army because I have post-traumatic stress disorder, and I was kind of getting wild and out of hand. So they said, you can't serve in the Army anymore. I'm sorry. Here you go. We're going to have to send you home. So now I have no meaning in my life, and I'm not perfect. So I got out of the Army, came back here, lived in Alpharetta for a little while because my mom was living there. Through the things that had happened in my life, I was trying to really find my way. There was such an emptiness in me, and that I knew there was something greater for me, but I didn't know what it was. And I made a lot of mistakes, didn't really know how to deal with anything, so I just started drinking a lot. So through that, I didn't have a job, so I started taking things that my mom owned and sold them at the pawn shops, and then, that's it. I just stole from my mother. And she finally decided that she had had enough, and I couldn't live there anymore, so she took me to a hotel and dropped me off. Luckily, I had one job, and then I got another job working at a restaurant. Pick up all kinds of shift. I was extremely hungry. All my money went to the hotel. So I stole food out of the kitchen at the restaurant that I worked at, and I was starting to hit bottom. And I started to pray again. And I said, God, I feel abandoned. I feel alone. That my mom wouldn't return my phone calls, my sister, my dad, nobody. I was alone, but I wasn't. And so I started praying, and I was like, God, you've got to do something. So, got a little bit better. I got a car, didn't have to live in the hotel anymore. Found a roommate, got to live with her. Then things started to kind of get a little back on track. I was only working one job, very happy with it. Found another job. I'm an insurance. I don't know if any of you know that, but found another job at this insurance agency and applied for it, and I got it. And so I was really excited. I'd only been working for the agency for about 3 days. And then I said, well, you know what? Things are so great. Let's just go out and celebrate this. So went out and celebrated, and turned into me being arrested that night, put in jail. It's not a fun place to be, but sometimes the life, the walk that you have that God has planned for you, it's not going to look like what you think it's going to be. It's not going to be all flowers and sunshine. Sometimes he's got to put you right on your knees to look up. So I went to jail, still a little hurt, not really sure if he was listening to my prayers or not. So I prayed, I got out of jail, and then I lost that job. And I started to work at Trader Joe's. I was like, well, I don't know what else to do. Trader Joe's is the funnest job I've ever had. I don't know if you guys like that store, but it is fun. So I started working there, and then I went to Pride, and I met Pastor Keith at Pride, and a song was playing. The song was called Shackles. I don't know if you know Shackles, But anyways, that same song, and Pastor Keith doesn't know this, that same song was the same song I fell in love with when I was 17 years old. And to hear that familiar call of that song, Shackles, and to see these people dancing, I wanted that, but people said I couldn't have that. That's for other people. That's for straight people. That's not for you. God doesn't love you. So, I met Pastor Keith there, and he was holding up a sign that said, "You can be gay and Christian." And I remember looking, and I didn't mean it in a nice way either. I looked at him, and I looked at the sign. I was like, "Is that true?" Because I wanted to challenge him. I wanted him to tell me that, tell me some philosophical thing. Yeah, whatever. I know gays aren't allowed in the kingdom of God. I've been told that my whole life, and Christians are not real. They're fake. So I was very hurt. So he said, yeah, that's true. You can be gay and Christian. I was like, okay, whatever. And that was the last thought. That was it. And that was in October, of course, Pride. And so I went on and working at Trader Joe's. But then God started to do a little bit of a change in me. I started getting joy out of making other people happy, and I don't know where it came from. So I started to encourage my other employees, like, man, hey, you look really handsome today. Just like little things like that. You look really handsome today. You're a great person, stocking shelves, yada, 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 going about my way. The whole time, God has got his hand on me, and God has got his hand on you for whatever you're going through. So I was on probation from getting arrested. It looked like my life was gonna just be that. Like I was never gonna be anything else. I wasn't gonna have a good life, wasn't gonna have a good job, wasn't gonna be a Christian. It looked pretty bad. So after a little bit longer, I started coming back to this church. I came back to this church January 2014, sat right there. I can remember coming in this place and the worship music and that same feeling of, I really, really need this to be real. I really need this to be for me. So I was standing there and Pastor Keith had an altar call and I'm talking about, I had a death grip on the back of that chair. I did not want to move because if I moved, that meant that I was going to have to bow down to a God that did not love me. And I've been there before. And I thought, none of this is real. None of these people are truly happy. This church only wants my money. Like because that's what I thought, because that's what I had experienced. But none of that was true. And so I just took the first step and then basically floated all the way down here. And Pastor Keith held me and he said, "You're safe." And I needed to know that. I needed to know that I was safe. No, I mean, my parents weren't still talking to me. I'd lost a lot of things in my life. And he said, "I'm in a safe place." So after that, I took off like a rocket. Started reading my Bible for the first time in a long time and actually getting joy out of it because I wasn't made to do it. It was something that I wanted to do. Then I started saying, "God, please write your words in my heart. Please write your words in my heart so I can remember them. And when this world tells me I'm worthless, when this world tells me you've ruined your life, you've made too many mistakes, you're not going to be able to reach people, this is it. I need you to tell me, God, who I am with you." And so I started looking, and I found out that I'm the righteousness of God. You're the righteousness of God. We're beautifully and fearfully made. I mean, I started finding out all these truths, and I started speaking out all of these truths over my life. Probation, it was only supposed to be a year. I was on there for 6 months. That was it. And then I went in there, and the guy said, "You know what? We're going to throw away your case. We're going to rip it up. We're going to tear it away and throw it away like it never happened." And that was the glimpse. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is true. This is true. There is a God that loves me. There is a God that if I was that one sheep, he would leave the 99 to come get me, and he did. And I know he's going to come and get you, or he already has came and got you. It doesn't matter. He died for every single person. So I started applying that in my life. I started thinking about what I was thinking about. And when a negative thought would come up, I would be like, well, that doesn't align with the Word of God. And go right in there and and speak the word of God over my life. Anyways, got off probation, like I said, got that job back that I got fired from, doing really well. And then all of a sudden, I got really lonely. I got extremely lonely. I was living in Gainesville in this house, and I had this church, but I wasn't happy. And I can remember taking a shower at the end of the day thinking, okay, all right, another day gone. All right, Father, I can do this. I didn't know what was going on, but sometimes God will bring you through things, maybe a season or something that you have to dig in the word and you have to get yourself out of. So I started, you know, writing down what Pastor Keith was preaching about here and writing down the Bible verses and got more of that in me so that I would exude truth so that I could speak truth to myself and it would come out of me. So I still felt a little lonely, and I said, well, God, I want a partner. And I said, I want a partner made exactly for me. And it had been, I don't know, 7 years. I've been single for 7 years. And I dated in between them, but then there were people in my life that they were okay, but they weren't Christian, right? And I was like, oh, well, that's okay. That's all right. We can. What are you, spiritual? Okay, that's fine. Or at least you can send me good vibes if I'm feeling bad or something. But it wasn't working. And where God started to work is when I said, whatever you want. Whatever you want, God, I'll be happy either way. If you want me to be single, I'll be single. If you want me to have a partner, I'll have a partner. But it doesn't matter, whatever you want. So I started praying that, and then I kept on to it. I wrote a list, 21 things actually, of what a partner was. And she meets 20 of those because she hasn't cooked for me yet. So she better go work on that, or I might have to question what God's doing. So anyways, I was praying, I was worshiping, but something else happened. I was fine with whatever God wanted to do in my life. I was just fine with it. And then I get a Facebook message, and here I am praying about a partner, and then I get a Facebook message that says, hey, you don't know me, but you seem like a really nice person, and that's all I read. My eyes kind of rolled in the back of my head. I'm like, okay, great. See where this is going? See where this is going right here. So I ignored the first message, and then she messaged me again. I'm just like, can you not message me? I'm waiting on my partner to come. Leave me alone. Kind of like that man in the boat where God sends like boats and you're like, no, I'm waiting on God to save me. Thank you. So that's what I did. And she asked me out for coffee, and my exact words were, thank you, but I'm quite happy being single. I like the ideal of coffee, but I'm quite happy being single. That's exactly what I said. Because I'd had enough. It was just going to be me and God, and I was just fine with that. Kind of forgot about the prayers that I prayed for a partner. And then we went out to dinner. We went out to coffee, and then we talked for 2 hours. 2 hours turned into dinner and two more hours. So we started hanging out. And then I realized that God did give me a partner made just for me, a partner who has had similar hurts, a similar story, not exactly, but she's overcame a lot. And it makes all the difference in the world to have a good Christian partner, because on the days where I go, babe, this is what I'm thinking, and I need you to tell me if it's of God or not. Because sometimes we're not thinking clearly, and we need our partner to back us up. And the other day, she was like, nope, that's a lie, and I'm going to pray with you right now. So we pray for each other. We pray over each other. I mean, it's great. And I don't think that, you know, when I look back on my life now, it was a lot of difficult things that I had to go through and a lot of hurt. But when I stepped in this door, my life started happening again. I met my partner at this church, And one day, more than my partner, she already knows that it's okay. It's not a surprise. But even when I met Pastor Keith, I was put off by Pastor Keith because pastor's a pastor. Oh, great. He's going to have me clean something. He's going to say I'm going to serve in this way. He's going to take my money. So I started relearning the truth. And Pastor, I'm not scared of you anymore. I was scared of him. I'm not scared of any of you. Now, with everything else, I learned to, offering was a really, really big mm-mm for me. I wasn't going to do it. Now, even though I was okay with Pastor, I was like, there's no way I can trust another church with money again, ever, because they stole from me. But God can work with that. So when I, you know, before I had any kind of money ever to give, I would say, okay, Father, let's start off small. Let's start off small. When that offering plate would go around, I couldn't afford to put anything in it. So I said, I put myself in that offering plate. I offer myself. I'm putting myself in that offering plate. And then it would go around again a couple of weeks later. Okay, God, I've got $5. I know it's not much. That is $5. And I was ashamed, and I would hide it in those little envelopes so that nobody knew how little I was giving, because that's all I had, guys. So I said, I don't want any judgments or anything like that. I'm just going to fold this $5 up, and I'm just going to put it in there. And God, you use it somehow, even though it's just $5. But he did. And then a couple of weeks later, okay, Father, I got $10. I got $10 now that I can give. Do you know how happy I was to give $10? And then, so I said, okay, all right, Father, that's $10. And then he said, and I read it, and it was like, see that I am good. Bring in your offerings and see if I don't rain down heaven on you. That is true, and I'm here to tell you it is. The blessings of my life, my partner, I prayed for her. I remember I stayed up at night saying, man, I just wish. And I would look at Carrie and Tara. I was like, man, if I could just have my partner, if I could just have her, Father. But I'm going to believe and I'm going to give this by faith. You know exactly what I need. You know the job that I have. You know the sales that I have to meet. I have a quota at work, guys. If I don't meet that quota, I am out of there. Okay? So I said, God, I'm going to trust you with my offering, and then I'm going to trust you with everything else. I'm going to do my part, and you're going to do your part. So, a couple weeks later, $20 in the offering. And then it just kept growing from there. I'm not kidding, guys. And here's some person, if you just would have, there was such a stigma around that offering plate, I didn't want to give it. And now I'm so joyful. Now I am extremely joyful to give it. And when God says, no, he'll change the amount on me sometimes. And it's like, but then you're like, you got to listen. So I do that, and I constantly stretch myself, and not only with the offering, I constantly have God stretch me with the things that he wants to do in my life. The people that I talk to every day, yeah, I sell insurance, that's not my dream. My dream is to reach people, to talk to them about God, to bring hope to people who don't have any hope. And when I walk in that agency, yeah, I sell insurance. That is only my job. That's not what I'm here to do. I go in that agency, and it's my ministry. That is Sheena Lee's ministry, my offices. So when people pick up the phone and they can't pay their bills, or if they're looking for a certain house that they can't find, do you know I pray for people? I don't even know. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to believe that you're going to get that house, and I believe that that house is going to be yours. And it happens. It might, you know, sometimes I don't see things that happen, but I talk to a lot of hurting people. Wherever you are, whatever you do, you can reach somebody. The grocery store, the gas station, anywhere. You can speak truth into them. And you might be the only truth or the only example that they know. So please, please be careful. Be a good example. Let God shine through you in every single thing that you do. He has completely turned my life around. And I'm going to tell you right now, if it wasn't for this church, I would still be out there. And thank God I'm not. So I'm just thankful for everything in my life, including this wonderful, beautiful woman who's a lot different than me. She doesn't eat meat. Know what I'm saying? So that's okay. We're not going to hold it against her. But I'm completely blessed, and my life is not over yet, and it's only the beginning of what God's going to do, and I can only... I'm really looking forward to the future for the first time in my life. And for the first time in my life, I'm happy to be gay. And I'm happy to be a Christian. And I'm happy just to be Sheena Lee.
Amen. We're happy that you're Sheena Lee too. And Ari's going to come and share.
Hey everyone, hi family. My name is Ari and I'm a daughter of God. It's good to be with y'all this morning. So I actually wanted to start out with a little short section of scripture. It's from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they have committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. God just really laid that on my heart, because when I think about my story, when I think about Sheena's story, there are a lot of people, whether it be pastors, whether it be parents, whether it be whatever, that even if it wasn't intentional, harm was done. Harm was made, sometimes intentional, sometimes not. But God is in the business of restoring all of those things. God in my life is redeeming those things. Rent is one of my favorite musicals. And, you know, in Rent, they talk about baggage that matches. And I did always look for someone that had baggage that matched mine. I think Sheena Lee's is pretty close to that. I had my spiritual mother that actually attends the church. I was talking to her yesterday, and she said, "I'm just a mess today." And I said, "Well, I love messes. If you're a mess, then I would really, really, really love you." I have an extra love for people who are a little messy. I kind of want to start with my bottom, actually. And the reason I want to start with that is I feel like that's where God really started to work on me. But when I was in the middle of that bottom, I definitely wouldn't have seen it that way. I'm feeling from God the whole time I was, actually before I came here today, and then God just confirmed it, that I want you to know that I'm someone that identifies as an alcoholic in recovery. I'm someone that identifies as an addict in recovery. I'm someone who identifies as someone with mental health conditions. I'm someone who is gay. I'm actually bisexual. I have all these things that people could say, "Oh, that's something wrong with you," or "That's something that makes you less than." And it's happened. But I'm here to tell you that if you consider yourself an alcoholic, if you consider yourself a drug addict, I don't care if you're in the middle of it, if you haven't seen deliverance from it yet, God is still with you and God can still use you. God can use you. You may not be at that point yet, but it can happen. When I was laying on the floor, I was not planning to really talk about this, but God's telling me to talk about it. When I was laying on my kitchen floor, shaking and sweating 6 and 7 years ago, when I ended up in the hospital with a couple of attempts to end my life because I didn't think it was going to get any better, there are little God moments all through that. The nurse that came in the hospital, I don't know what her exact title was, and had a chat with me. Do you know how many people she probably saw in there that had done similar things trying to end their life or whatnot? But she came in and spoke life over me. I don't know who that lady was. I think of her often from time to time because it was after that that I started thinking, well, maybe this one person cares for me to be able to get some help. I also want to share a little bit about kind of how all of this abusive, I guess self-abuse, harming myself through different methods and not trusting Jesus and not having faith community. That my coping mechanisms today are Jesus and my faith community. If you're sitting here, you are part of my community. You're part of how I live a joyful, hopeful, free life today. Just by being here, just by existing in your presence. And I truly mean that. When I was a little girl, I grew up in a very legalistic background. My parents are no longer a part of the organization, but there is a particular organization that now deemed by many people to be a cult. Not an occult, but a cult. So there's a leader, this guy that ran the organization, and he's pretty well known in some ultra-conservative fundamentalist circles. I grew up Independent Baptist, and if that works for somebody to find God, that's great. I always felt a little uncomfortable growing up in church and hearing the pastor knock different denominations and different types of Christian churches. I feel like God can meet you anywhere, and God is definitely working in multiple places and multiple groups of people all over this world. I'm here to say that. But I grew up that way, and definitely checklist was a big part of it. I prayed the sinner's prayer when I was about 9 years old. And I, however, don't really consider that to be the point where I started to follow Jesus. I did. I prayed a prayer, but I actually see myself, you know, I was 9 years old. It wasn't until I was about 30 years old. 30 years old from the time I was 9 years old that I really consider myself to be a follower of Jesus. So I've really only been, I feel like, living authentically and really loving Jesus and experiencing a personal relationship with him for about 4 or 5 years. And that was a journey that actually, you know, I find being in gratitude has changed a lot for me. If I would have not been asked to give my testimony a year and a half ago. You guys, I would have not been asked to give my testimony because I was living in a victim place. And I, you know, I probably deserved a little bit to get to be in that place for a minute from different things that had happened to me. But when you live as a victim, it is not a very empowering way to live. It actually, it just was hurting me more and more and more. And finally, I had a couple, I'm in a small group with other LGBTQ gay Christians. And I was in that group and there was actually one man in particular and he just started talking to me about that and started speaking life into me about, yeah, I know you were sexually abused as a child, which I've never said publicly before. I know that happened to you. I know that you, you know, went through a time where you had a marriage and you were with someone that mistreated you for all these years and so on and so forth. But, you know, all of that aside, you're a child of God. You're a daughter of God. That's really what matters. You know, all the details of my story that gets into the grime and the filth and the dirt, that's not really what's that important. But I do want you to know that I did fall, and I fell, and I stayed fallen for a while. But I like to think about it as basically I was falling on Jesus. Jesus caught me. He caught me. I didn't really know it quite at the time, but he had caught me. And you know, I grew up, it's funny, I was showing Sheena pictures the other day from my homeschool curriculum. A part of my independent fundamentalist upbringing was I was also homeschooled using a program created by the cult leader. And part of the things I learned in school was, for example, if I was wearing this dress that I had on right now, I wouldn't have been wearing it. But in the curriculum, they had different pictures of dresses. And one of them was a dress with like a bunch of lace on it. Anyway, I had to find all the things wrong with the dresses that were immodest, all the things that made it an eye trap. So that way, you know, I could make sure I was dressing to please Jesus all the time, you know, and things like that. And when that's your focus is on, you know, outward things and rules and, okay, well, my face needs to look this way, so I also have to wear my hair this way. And, you know, we can't be in this place because they're playing music with a rock beat, and that's not of God, so we have to leave. I mean, all kind of crazy shenanigans that are not even, you know, it's so funny to me because it's so far removed from where I am today. But God still used that time. If there's a time in your life where you're like, I don't know if God did anything good here, that time, as scary as it was and as terrible as it was at times, God still taught me his word during that time. So even though my application of scripture is very different today and how I commune with the Holy Spirit and how I choose to follow God is very different from how it was when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all those ages, but God still used it to put me in the word. And I really value that. So that's what I choose to look back on, is I choose to be grateful for the fact that I was exposed to Jesus at all. Because maybe I'd had a different upbringing, I hadn't had that opportunity. So that's the opportunity that I'm grateful for. I'm grateful that I had that opportunity to learn a little bit about Jesus. Because then, as I got older, I always knew I was bisexual. A lot of you guys probably didn't know that about me. You probably thought I was a lesbian, but I'm actually bisexual. Surprise! So with that being said, I started realizing that when I was really little. But of course, I remember in particular, one time my dad came back from a business trip. He'd went out to San Francisco. And I remember the things he said when he came back from his business trip to San Francisco, which I won't repeat here. But I remember, and that was the moment I was like, oh, okay, we don't talk about this. This is not acceptable. So I made sure to file that away. And ended up doing well enough somehow, was the Holy Spirit, I guess, to graduate from this homeschool program and go to the University of Georgia. And when I went to college, I started learning there are all different kinds of people in the world. There are a lot more people than what all the people were that went to my one church and were in my one homeschool program. Like, oh my goodness, there's this big, diverse world out here. It's pretty exciting. So anyway, I started thinking, okay, well, maybe after a few years passed, maybe I'll come out as bisexual to my friends. I'm not ready to tell my family yet, but maybe I'll start like looking for some support with my friends. Well, I told my gay friends that I was bi, and I told my straight friends that I was bi, and this was probably around 2006, 2004. Somewhere around there. And let me tell you, a lot's changed since then for bisexual people. A lot has changed, and I praise the Lord for that. Because what I was told at that time was that, well, until you're ready to commit, you don't really fit in with us. I was told that by multiple gay people. Until you're ready to say you're one or the other, you don't really have a place here. And I thank God that this church is not like that. I praise God for that. Whatever your orientation is, straight, hey, we love allies, so thank you so much to all the straight people that come here and support this church. I appreciate you. So it doesn't matter where you are, transgender, lesbian, bisexual, pansexual. I could name all of them, but that would take a really long time. So I just want you to know that, you know, God has a place for me. God never turned me away because I didn't fit into a particular box. So you don't have to fit into a box either. But God was still with me even when other people said, you know, go away. But you know what I did? Instead of going to God, that's when my alcoholism started to get really bad. And I think it's really easy sometimes for us maybe that have been delivered from things or are in a supportive community to look at our brothers and sisters that are still out in the middle of suffering and forget what it's like to not have a supportive space. And I'm talking to myself a little bit right now too, that it's important to remember you know, where I came from and where I was at when I felt like I had nowhere else to go. So I started using alcohol and other things and ended up getting married to a guy. And he was okay for a while, but he had a lot of his own issues that he needed to work through. And, you know, there was a lot of abuse that happened in that relationship. I actually met him when I was 18 years old, and I was with him for almost 13 years. And a lot of people, they think, well, you know, when they hear, if I go into, which I'm not going to do today, but if I go into details about some of the things that happened, you know, it's so shocking sometimes for people that have never been in that situation as to why did you not leave before then? Why did you date him for X amount of years and then marry him? There's all the questions. But we'll tell you one thing, when you're raised in church and you're told that divorce is a sin no matter what, and that it's your cross as a woman to bear abuse, because that's being preached from some pulpits here in America, that when you're taught that, you try to get through it as best you can. You know, I was still hanging on to that little bit of, this is my duty, this is what I need to do, I need to do this, it's the right thing to do. Well, I'm going to tell you, God is not in someone disrespecting you. God is not in someone not loving you. And I'm here to tell you that today. If you need somebody to hold your hand and tell you that one-on-one, I will be that person, because God is not in that. And I thank God, though, that today, a couple of years back, that particular person who treated me all these different ways and just really, really harmed me to the point where I've actually been diagnosed with PTSD from that relationship. That person called me and said, crying, I'm really sorry for the ways that I treated you. I'm really sorry for doing X, Y, and Z, and called it out. For the first time ever, was specific about what was wrong with how he had interacted with me. And, you know, because of Jesus, it's only because of Jesus, not because of me, I was able to say, yes, I forgive you. I don't want you back in my life, but I forgive you. And you may have people like that in your life too. And I feel complete peace about that. And I praise God that he is able to show me with different things that have happened to me that whoever that human was that harmed me, they are still a child of God. God loves my ex-husband as much as he loves me. God loves our unaffirming family as much as he loves us. And I know that's a hard truth, you guys, and there's a lot that could be unwrapped around that, but that's what God's working on me on, is to see them as children of God. So I praise God that I'm gay. I praise God for the people who have abused me. I praise God for my struggles with substances. I praise God for my mental health challenges. But I'm glad this story doesn't end with all of those things. In fact, my story is still going to be going for a long time, hopefully. It doesn't end when I put this microphone down. But I will tell you that the world out there does need to hear that there are other people in your shoes, your person, because everyone has an individual story. And whatever you can do to share, because I will tell you just how I came back to God. And that's how I'm going to end, is that one day I was crying in my bathtub after the Pulse tragedy happened. And I had started coming back to God. I was already sober at this point, but I had still not reconciled my part of my identity. You know, there's so much more to us than just our sexual orientation, right? Like, there's so much more. But I hadn't aligned that part of myself with the God that loves me. I hadn't done that yet. And I was in my bathtub and Pulse had just happened. So I haven't been out very long. I've only been out for a couple years. Pulse had just happened. And I remember just laying there, and I was praying, and I felt lost. I felt like, God, what's going on? Because once people had told me there was no place for me, I'd went back in the closet. So I was laying there, and I was actually going to a mega church here in Atlanta at the time. It was before I even knew about TGPA, and I was going to that church, and it's an unaffirming church. It's a nice church. They'll welcome you, but they won't let you be, do certain things, but it's a nice church. And I was going there, and it was good for a season. Let's talk about seasons, right? It was good for a season. But I was laying there, and I saw this post about Pulse, and there was going to be a vigil at this church, which I thought, this is beautiful. This is wonderful that this church is going to do this. And a man that I did not know, okay, this is God. This is a God moment, and I want you to take this away because I want you to think you could be this person for someone. I needed this person so much. It was God. God used this person. I was laying there, and I opened the comments, and this man I didn't know said, as a gay Christian man that attends your church, I'm very grateful that you're putting on this vigil. And y'all, that was my first interaction with someone who was a gay Christian. Okay, it was a public Facebook post on this non-affirming church. This guy outed himself because, I don't know if he knew this, but some bisexual Christian girl was hurting at home, crying her eyes out, and needed a little bit of hope, needed a ray of hope. And so I ended up messaging him. God can use Facebook. Isn't that exciting? Maybe that's why I love it so much, you guys. God's just used it so much in my life. But I ended up messaging him and got introduced to the Bible study group that I go to now. Ended up meeting Ryan Carr and Jonathan Smith, and that's how I'm here today. And then, of course, ended up coming here for a while. I'm very hesitant, as you can imagine, before I start dating someone these days. And so this lovely lady that just shared popped up across my suggested Facebook friends list. And I thought, wow, she's gorgeous. But hold up. Sometimes when you've been through a lot, you're like, maybe I should do my opposite of my instinct. And instead of just jumping right into this, let me contact. So I actually contacted. I highly recommend this, by the way. Background check. Yeah, I background checked her with Pastor Keith, Pastor Deb, Ryan, and Jonathan. I said, hey, this lady popped across my suggested friends, and I'm really interested in asking her out, but I want to make sure that she's going to be a healthy, addition to my life, and that she actually loves God and treats people as well as it looks like from the outside. So I need some inside scoop, because that's how I make my decisions about who I'm in a relationship with now. Obviously, there's got to be a little bit of physical beauty there, of course. She's got a lie. I got real blessed there. But, it's really the heart. Seeing the soul. And I just am beyond grateful. I feel like we should just praise God for the fact that we are a house full of LGBTQIA and allies that are all here, praising God and celebrating God today in spite of whatever people have told you that you couldn't do. You're here and you're living. And from here, you get to join with God and decide where your story goes from here. I'd like to end. My Bible is NIV, and I actually wanted to read this out of the Message. So Deuteronomy chapter 3. I used to be scared of the Old Testament. You know how people talk about reclaiming your time? Reclaim the Old Testament, you guys. Reclaim the Old Testament. So here's what will happen. While you're out among the nations where God has dispersed you, and the blessings and curses come in just the way I have set them before you, and you and your children take them seriously and come back to God, your God, and obey him with your whole heart and soul according to everything that I command you today, God, your God, will restore everything you lost. He'll have compassion on you. He will come back and pick up the pieces from all the places where you were scattered. No matter how far away you end up, God, your God, will get you out of there. He will. And bring you back to the land your ancestors once possessed. It will be yours again. He will give you a good life and make you more numerous than your ancestors. God, your God, will cut away the thick calluses on your heart and your children's hearts, freeing you to love God, your God, with your whole heart and soul, and live, really live. God, your God, will put all these curses on your enemies. He'll take care of it. Who hated you and were out to get you. And you will make a new start. Listening obediently to God, keeping all his commandments that I'm commanding you today. God, your God, will outdo himself in making things go well for you. You'll have babies. We can still do that, you guys. Get calves, grow crops, and enjoy an all-around good life. Yes, God will start enjoying you again, making things go well for you, just as he enjoyed doing it for your ancestors. But only if you listen obediently to God, your God, and keep the commandments and regulations written in this book of Revelation. Nothing half-hearted here. You must return to God, your God, totally heart and soul, holding nothing back. This commandment that I'm commanding you today isn't too much for you. It's not out of your reach. It's not on a high mountain. You don't have to get mountaineers to climb the peak and bring it down to your level and explain it before you can live it. Isn't that good news? And it's not across the ocean. You don't have to send sailors out to get it, bring it back, and then explain it before you can live it. No, the word is right here and now, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as near as the heart in your chest. Just do it. God's ready to do a new thing for all of you guys.
That was amazing. That was awesome, both of you. Wow. Wow. That was pretty. See how I love testimony? You don't know where people come from, but it's so great to see where they are today. And God takes those little pieces like a mosaic, and even all those broken pieces of life makes this beautiful picture. It's a beautiful thing. If you need prayer, raise your hand, because I want to pray for you. Lord, you see the needs. Lord, you know the needs. I thank you, Father, that you see every need, and that you not only see every need, you are the provision for those needs. If we trust you, if we look to you for those needs. And Father, right now, we lift up our brothers and sisters in this place. Our family, I thank you that they're part of us. And Father, we lift them up and we say, Lord, whatever they're going through right now, meet them where they are. In the mighty name of Jesus, because you can make all things new. You can restore all things. You give hope to the hopeless. You give sight to the blind. You give joy to those in mourning. And we thank you, Jesus. Now bless them and provide for them and protect them in Jesus' name. Amen.